Hello and welcome to the PropTech Hot Seat on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we explore trends and technologies driving innovation across the built environment. The show is brought to you in partnership with PropTech Ireland, the hub for innovators, investors and indeed for industry leaders. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Paul Van Bommel, co-founder of GeoVox. Paul, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
GeoVox, I think people will be very familiar with the outputs that you have, but might not be as familiar with GeoVox. So you might just take us through an introduction to the company for people who are not familiar.
Sure, yeah. So we're a Dublin-based company. We started off in 2018. So it was co-founded by myself and two Italians, actually. So that's one Dutchie and two Italians working in the tech industry previously in Dublin. One of us was working in KBC Bank at the time, you know, got familiar with the processes that banks have for home valuations, and we set out to improve that process.
Very good. So explain a little about how you've done this, because I think you're maybe downplaying it a bit, but actually you came into the marketplace at a time when there was still huge confusion, and I suppose maybe there was maybe a lack of appreciation about the value of data. And maybe the correct treatment of it. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's correct. So as I mentioned, one of our founders was working in a bank, and he basically was in the risk team, where essentially after a mortgage is originated, what a bank will do is they will index that valuation for the lifetime of the mortgage. So essentially every year they'll just say, okay, the price is going up 5%, 4%, 3%. And as time, of course, progresses, that valuation will become less accurate. So what we set out to do is to really, as you said correctly, gather all the data that is available in the marketplace on all the roughly 2 million homes in the Republic, and to use that data to, at a push of the button, produce an automated valuation. And every time that hypothetical button is pushed, that will produce a value at that point in time using the most recent sales that are similar to that property.
Automated valuations got quite a bad rap, particularly across, say, North America. So you might just explain, when you say automated valuations, how specific to the property are these?
So the two things that are very important when you automatically value a property is A, that the property is as similar as possible to the home that you're valuing. And that typically is driven by factors such as, is it in the same building, the same estate, or the same street? Those are very important kind of indicators. And then everything that you know about, so that's kind of the GIS data, or where is it? And then everything that is that you know about the home. How many bedrooms, how many square meters, what BRRRR rating, so on and so forth. So that's factor A, that's a similarity. And factor B is the recentness of that sale. So, for example, if you're valuing a home in, I don't know, D6 and it's in an apartment block, what you really want is, let's say, 3 to 6 very similar sales in that same block of flats in the last, let's say, 24, 36 months. Obviously, you can adjust the sales price by the house price index since that date. But really, that's what you want, as similar as possible and as recent as possible.
That's a problem in Ireland, surely, given the size of the marketplace, but not only the size of the marketplace. I mean, you talk about 2 million homes, but Ireland has a disproportionately low turnover of homes. And actually, in terms of secondhand stock, we know that fear of being able to find a new home is really keeping people who might want to sell in their own homes. So actually, in terms of looking at geographic areas, I mean, I know villages that wouldn't have had 3 to 6 sales in 12 months.
That's absolutely correct. So that's kind of where the statistical element comes in. So we talked a little bit about kind of the final part of the process. But really what we did as a second step is the moment that evaluation takes place, we first do the automated part of the valuation, and really what that produces is a confidence score, and that confidence score has a statistical kind of denomination. And that says, okay, you know, basically the recentness and the likeness of the home is quite good or quite low. For example, if you're in a rural area in Ireland, it's likely to be lower. Then you have to go back a bit further in time, maybe, you know, find a bungalow in the next village. visualize that to the valuer, and they will then select the best possible home. The house price index is very important here. So it might actually be a home that sold a few years back, but because that's built into our platform, we can actually go a bit further back.
Again, when we're looking at the data, we always have to look at the robustness of that data. And you know, it's one of the things whenever we speak to any PropTech startups or innovators who might be trying to really layer in machine learning, the data, the volume of data in Ireland was just quite low for them to be able to do maybe a more sophisticated analysis. You've been operating now for a number of years, but we're still talking about an environment that has sketchy information at best, intermittent at best. The reliability sometimes could be called into question. And now we've got such low volumes of transactions. You know, where is the robustness built into your system?
So that's an excellent question. So just kind of as a first remark, the way that the system works is not a one-off. So there is a pan-European organization, they're called the European AVM Alliance. They have basically one member per European member state that sets the standard for, okay, what does it actually mean to automatically evaluate property? What processes do you use and how do you report the robustness of the output? So that's the EAA, the European AVM Alliance, and we work by their standards. And obviously, you know, there will be differences between countries. So Ireland is not the Netherlands, Netherlands not the UK, the UK is not Spain. But we all work according to the same standards and we all report on a quarterly basis in the same format of output. So that's kind of our quarterly test of results.
Paul, I kind of alluded to it at the start, but consumers do get the benefit of the output of your service there in terms of reporting. Yeah. But in terms of your business model, who's using your service?
Yeah, so I don't think I made that completely clear because there's actually a few applications to what we do here. So originally we started with portfolio valuations. And that was mainly at the moment of transaction. So a bank would buy a mortgage book from a bank or an investor would buy it from a bank, right? So a performing loan book or a non-performing loan book. And basically they would give us a spreadsheet and we would, you know, automatically value a couple of hundred or a couple of thousands of homes, right? Step two was we went to the banks and we said, hey, you guys also need to be monitoring your loan book. And this is actually new regulation that's coming into effect now under the European Banking Authority, the GLOM, the Guidelines on Loan Origination and Monitoring. These are obviously higher volumes. So we're also using, they're also now using our system to do this kind of annual or every 3 year kind of checkup on the health of their loan book. And the big third step that we launched in 2023 is origination. Now, origination, that's not portfolio work, that's individual single valuations. But at scale, obviously, because we sign these contracts with the lenders. And then the lenders will say to the borrower, please book it here with GeoVox. And then we have, at this moment in time, almost 200 valuers that are connected to our platform that finish that valuation.
And in terms of, I do want to touch on the new legislation you mentioned there coming down the track. I think that's an important one, albeit legislation, but probably the worst acronym that has been introduced in recent years. Yeah. But just in terms of those valuations, because I know as you and I are having this conversation, I know that any estate agents and auctioneers and professional valuers listening in will straight away jump to the exception to the rules. So, you know, you were talked about the similarities, but most people will jump automatically to the extension. And they're the professionals. That's without talking to the homeowners who layer the emotion and everything else and what they've spent on the property and their own personal circumstances on it. So maybe explain where the baseline that you establish and then maybe where the 200 valuers nationwide, where they layer their expertise onto your data.
Yeah, so that's actually a very relevant question. So as we mentioned early on, we started with the complete automation of the valuation. Now we call that an automation valuation. Actually, it's more of a value estimate, which is used a loan book transactions or for loan book monitoring. And official valuations is under RICS or Trgova standards, let's say. And this product, this origination platform, we have built in collaboration with basically all valuers in Ireland. So as I mentioned, we have about 200 that are already connected to our platform. We work with them on a daily basis. Valuation requests come in all the time in our platform, and we allocate it to the nearest by valuer, essentially. And they, even though we automate some of the kind of the population of the fields, and we even sometimes suggest, like, okay, these are the available comps that look alike, they have 100% control to edit, tweak, and give their own opinion about that data. So there's nothing that we're taking out of their hands. We're essentially helping them make this process smoother and to abolish, for example, change requests. Change requests are still very prevalent in this industry. Like, one in three valuations that come into the bank will be sent back by the bank saying, hey, can you amend this and that, which is a frustrating process also for the valuer.
Yeah, and I think that again, the valuers would certainly agree with that. And I know IPAV and Trgova have done a huge body of work over the last number of years, and we're seeing more and more Irish professionals actually become part of that network, which is something that's absolutely welcome. And I think in an age of digitalization, I think you're really securing a pathway for valuers as well, which it's something that is to be valued. But the new legislation coming into effect in July, that's really going to impact automated home valuations. And essentially, really, it will impact the lenders. But you might just take us through that legislation and how that will impact operators across the marketplace.
Yeah, sure. So there's basically, it's a very long piece of legislation, but there's really only two things that really are important for the lenders and actually for the whole landscape. The first one is the rules on monitoring. This essentially means what we said earlier, that they have to step away from indexation from the moment of origination towards a individual valuation. And it means an individual value estimate based on that specific ear code. And then you have to take into account property characteristics. So you can't say just because homes in D6 went up 8%, this home is 8% higher now. Now you have to say, based on similar transactions at this moment in time, it's X, the value is X. So that's the first. You have to step away from general indexation to specific home level valuations. The second one is on origination. And that one has got two interesting elements in it. The first one is, and this is a big hurdle actually that we're seeing in the marketplace right now, which is there is an opportunity to step away from always visiting the property by the surveyor. That doesn't mean the surveyor isn't still in the picture. They still are, but they have the option to perform a desktop valuation at the time of origination if the data is strong enough. And that comes back to what we discussed earlier. You know, the fluidity of the market and the similarity of the transactions. So that's the opportunity there. And then the kind of legal aspect, the second point of origination, is quality control needs to take place on the lender side on both the data and the valuation output. At this point, this is often not completely taken care of yet by the lender. And that's also built into our platform.
Okay, we might just break those down because, as somebody who's dealing with data, when you hear no more indexing, which is fine, but actually to base it more on characteristics, understanding the challenges of data collection and the variances between properties that might have a similar square footage on the same road, but actually have quite a different value for a number of different reasons. How do you deal with that from a data approach?
Well, so the short answer to that is you look at all the data. So you have a range of similar transactions according to the home characteristics, right? So, for example, they're all two-bedroom apartments, right? So that's your first selection, and they're all in the same building or estate. So then you have the similarity. And then you will look at the range. So what is the square meter range of those homes? HPI, sorry, home price index adjusted. What does that come down to on the square meter level? And let's say that comes down to a range of 5,500 to 6,500 euros per square meter. That's quite a good range if you have a large data set there. If it's way wider, we will be open that our confidence score is lower. If it's narrower, we say it's higher.
Okay. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, and based on that, you can then decide, if it's super narrow and super similar, you can say this might be eligible for a desktop valuation. If it's wider, you say, listen, let's give it to the value for a site visit.
Okay, and then explain maybe the, I know you said it's not fully developed, but say the legal aspects and the quality control side of it.
So that's after the so there's a form, right? Right now, very often from a value perspective, it looks like this. Like the bank will send a PDF file or an Excel file and say, fill this out and mail it back to us. This is 2024 we're talking about. This is literally what's happening right now, right? So we've made that whole process online. So from the moment that it gets booked by the borrower, a request is made on our platform, that's automatically allocated to the nearest and the best valuer. The valuer will then fill that form out online. So this is all kind of a very smooth flow. It takes about 5 minutes. And then we will do two things. The first thing that we'll do is we'll say, okay, here are some of the comps, because everything that ever transacted in Ireland up to last week will be in that form, will be integrated in that form. So they don't have to be going on Daft, going on My Home and finding some transactions or PPR. They can do it right there and then. It's all kind of plugged into a map, click, click, click. These are the best ones. Now, we will say, based on what you've selected here, we see range A. And if they're way out of that range, we ask them to at least comment, like, why are we out of this range? Might be, very good reasons, right? So it's a recent renovation or whatnot. That's point one. Then they will put a value on it. They will submit it to the lender. And the lender will then be able to see that output, that value output, also against our AVM, which is a second quality control that we've built in. If that outlier is very high, we allow the lender that to then take appropriate action.
Okay, very good. I mentioned a couple of times here that you do actually report and make available data to consumers quite regularly through reports that are issued through the media. However, I am very much aware that you're gathering data that you don't report on. So what can you tell us about, say, some market trends that you're seeing or maybe some market insights that you're seeing now, but maybe won't necessarily be reported for a period of months.
Well, so there's always the question that we get is always like, what is the housing market going to do in terms of kind of new homes or maybe kind of house prices? We tend to stay away from that. We're very much a data company. We look at the here and now and to the past, right? One thing that we do have a keen interest in, and that a lot of the lenders have a keen interest in right now behind the curtains, is ESG data. So more and more they want to know what's going on in terms of climate risk, and they want to know also an energy efficiency of their book. That's a very big one. The BER data in Ireland over the last number of years has really expanded. We have now, I think, over 50% coverage of BER certificates in the Irish housing market. And one thing that we really are working on with the lenders is, okay, can we monitor the how your back book is performing in terms of energy rating? And one thing that we're personally very interested in as well is, okay, how are we doing on the renovation side? So there's this big plan by the National Government of Ireland that 500,000 homes need to be retrofitted by 2030. The goal there is 500,000 homes need to be at a B2 level. I can tell you we're nowhere near there. So I think the rates C to G outnumber the A to Bs roughly 5 to 1 right now. The
Oh, Paul, you might just repeat that there. So the category.
so the A and B BER ratings, they roughly are 1 to 5 C, D, E, F, and G ratings in the Republic of Ireland right now. So the A's and B's are a very small proportion of the housing market. Obviously, new builds, they're all A's right now. But the existing housing stock is of quite a low energy efficiency level right now. The government has said we need to retrofit 500,000, so that's 1 in 4 Irish homes by the year 2030. I think they've done 18,000 today, so that's 4% of that number. So one thing that we're very interested in, this is a little bit out of our scope, but we're very interested in, okay, if we're talking about 500,000 homes, up to 50% of that retrofit may be grants from the SEAI. Half of that will then be self-financed by the homeowner. Where is that money coming from? Some people may have it, some people may not. It's quite hard still to get that money from Irish lenders. It's a long process, and the rates tend to be 6, 7, 8 percentage points. So it's not a huge product. But if you look at 500,000 times, let's say, I don't know, 50K a loan, that will be quite a large business opportunity as well. That will be 25 billion.
You talk about a business opportunity, but I would say the credit unions nationwide have been all over this for the last number of not just months, actually years. And in fact, anecdotally, we know of stories where entrepreneurs and business people approached their credit union looking for loans and were told to essentially request the money as a retrofit for their home, which is something as starting as supporting startups and entrepreneurship. It's something I find pretty abhorrent, but we know that that's happening. So actually, I would say the credit unions are going to take a massive lead in this. And I suppose finally, before we finish up, it's really interesting to hear maybe that changing trend with ESG emerging. But to be honest, of the ESG there, everything you've discussed there fits very firmly into the E. Is there any data reporting around the S and the G, and particularly the S, the social side?
It's not something that we focus on, to be honest. So we're very much focused on kind of the valuation itself. That's really a kind of our core. And then there is there's a little bit of E coming up right now. The social is not really in our in what we do right now. However, if we get that request, we will sit on a lot of data that we may apply in that direction.
And just in terms of final question, in terms of the reporting that you do make available on a regular basis, is that likely to change seeing this trend for, I suppose, more demand for environmental sustainability metrics?
It's something that we're looking at indeed at this moment. So we're also thinking about doing a special report on ESG data. Right now we have the quarterly report, which is on all the sold homes in Ireland. And we're looking in this direction as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a really interesting one because I think we've just had two of the largest parties have just had their political or that get-togethers where they've outlined their future ambitions. And I think maybe in terms of retrofit, you've undermined them to a certain extent. So I look forward to seeing the ESG reporting that you're planning to do. But in the meantime, just for people, is there a mechanism for consumers to use this in terms of them going to try understand their own properties?
Indeed. So you can go to geowox.com and you can actually just request a report for yourself that will be just available to book there for your own purposes. And otherwise, it will be via the lender. The lender actually giving you the opportunity to book there.
Super. Thank you so much for taking us through that. That was Paul van Bommel, co-founder at GeoWox. My thanks, as always, to producer Katie Tallon and to the audio team at Hear Me Roar Media. Before we go, just a special word of thanks to our sponsor, PropTech Ireland, for supporting the podcast and making these conversations possible. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the PropTech Hot Seat. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.